Up of Daf Kuf Mem Hei Omer Aleph, Omer Rav Yirmiya, four lines down from the top. We're talking about squeezing fruits into an ochel, so the juice goes directly from the fruit into the ochel and never has a shem mashke. What's the status of mashke bolatakin ochel? Is it mutter v'schita or is it osur? Perhaps the issue depends upon a machlokas tanoi in a mishnah in Masros. And we're talking about a baker, hamachlik be'anovim. So he is going to squeeze out juice from the grapes, and he's going to use it to be machlik, meaning to pour it over the face of the breads, as a kind of covering over the breads. And the purpose of this hachlokas hakikar with mitzvah navim is so that the face of the kikar will not be burned by the fire of the oven. Others say it beautifies the pas. And according to the Tanakhama, in this presentation, in the Mishnah, is lo hukshar. Normally, when you have contact with a liquid, the bread becomes hukshar lekabel tumah. But in this case, the kikros are not hukshar lekabel tumah. Rav Yehuda omer hukshar. The kikros are hukshar lekabel tumah. There's also a discussion here about the anovim themselves. And the Gemara says, "My lav baha kamifkli." The soda machlokus is the following: Mar sovar. According to the Tanakhama, Mashka Boli Ochel Ochel Hu, the reason why it's not Machshir, the Kikar, is because since it goes directly from the fruits, from the grapes, onto the Kikar, it never became a Mashka. Umar Sabra Rabbi Yehuda holds Lav Ochel Hu, that this Mashka, even though it's going for a Tikkun of an Ochel, nevertheless it is a Mashka. And therefore it's Machshir, the kikros to be makabel tum. And if this is the machlokas tanoim, where the mashka boli ochel is ka'ochel, the only question is, why does this Mishnah formulate the machlokas in terms of machlik ba novim? Why not just say, socheid eshkol an novim utoch ochel? Which is exactly what we had in Shmuel, if you remember from the last sugya that we had. And perhaps the answer is that the Mishnah wants to be mechadish here in the Shita of the Tanakhama, that not only when he takes a fruit and he squeezes it into ochel is it considered an ochel and it doesn't get a shei mashke, but even in a case where he squeezes it to be machlik a sakikar and the mashke is not what we call nivlal bi ochel. It doesn't really get absorbed into the food. It's only on the surface level of the food. Nevertheless, it still does not have a toras mashke because it's coming to be attacking the ochel. We're not sure about Shmuel. Shmuel allowed you to squeeze grapes into a kedera. I'm not sure about hachloka in this case of the Tanakh. Anyway, Omer of Papa, to deflect this tlut, he says the kuli alma, everybody agrees the mashke boli ochel lav ochel. In other words, it is a mashke, but the machlokes is about something else. Hocha v'mashke boli ibud kamiflegi. In other words, when he squeezes these grapes onto the kikros, onto the bread that are going right into the oven, his understanding, his das, is that this mitz, this juice that's coming out of the grapes, is going li'ibud. It's going to be burnt in the tanur. And Mar, Rabbi Yehuda, holds that mashkehu, despite the fact that it's sofo li'ibud, it still has the status of a mashkehu, Mar sofa, but the Tanakhama holds lav mashkehu. That if it's a mashkeh, it's just sofo li'ibud, it's not a mashkeh, and therefore it's not machshir the kikar to be makabel tumah. It could be that again, all everybody agrees now, according to Rav Papa, that mashka boli ochel is a mashka. Again, I don't know how that's going to impact on the laws of Schlit of Shabbos. That's a research project. Now that we can take this machlokas in the Mishnah, and we can tie it up with a machlokas in a brayso, the Sanya hamefatzea bezesim biyadim miso avos, he's crushing olives with yadim tmeos. He's trying to soften them up, and this oil that's coming out of these grapes, and they certainly are wetting the grapes, is huchshar. Means the zesim now are huchsharim lekabalas tuma, because it's good for him. It's good for him for the zesim to be wet with oil. That adds and enhances the taste of the zesim. However, in a case where he's crushing him with sofason, meaning to be tovil them b'melach, in other words, now he's softening them up so that the salt will attach itself well to them, lo hukshar, now the zesim are not mukhsharim lekabel tum, because he doesn't want the shemen to go out. In other words, as far as he's concerned, what he's doing here by doing this me'icha and softening it has to do with melach. He doesn't need the shemen here. It doesn't add anything to it. But now he has a case of miach sazesim kidei leida im ha-shemen yotzeh ben bekalus. In other words, he wants to know whether these zesim have reached their maturity so that now we can send them to the olive press, because the shemen goes out very easily. It flows. And that's what he's trying to check out. He gives Zesim limsok im lav, right? If it's time for masika, which means pressing them, or not. And the shemen that goes out now is holikli ibud, lo hukshar. The Zesim are not mukhsharim here. Again, even though he's very interested in taking the shemen out in this case, he wants to check and see the state of the olives. But nevertheless, it's holikli ibud. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hukshar, my lab b'hokamifugli, Mar Sovar, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Mashke Omid Li Ibud Mashke, despite the fact that it's going Li Ibud, it still retains its status as a Mashke, and therefore it's Mashke, the Zesim, Li Kabbalah's Tuma. Umar Sovar, the Tanakam holds Lav Mashke, the Zesim, are not Hukshar, because it's Holech Li Ibud. Is here too, in the case of someone who it takes the grape juice and he pours it on the face of the chalos, we could have the same identical machlokes here, because that juice is going with ibud, it's going directly into the oven where it'll just go up in flames. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, nevertheless, hukshar, as he said in the case of zesim, and the Tanakhama holds, as the Chachamim hold in the case of Zesim, that because it's holichli ibud, it's not a mashk. The Gemara now is going to break up this tlut, this interdependence. Om Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yeshua, Hani Tanoi, the Machlokas Tanoi in the Braisa regarding olives, is Be'inyan Mashke Omed Le'ibud Pligi. They're arguing about this mashka that comes out of the zesim, but he's not interested in the oil itself, and the oil is going to go to ibud, and they're going to argue whether or not that's called a mashka. Vahanach tanoi, but the tanoim in the Mishnah in the Masechta Masrus that we spoke about before, with regard to anovim, with regard to grapes, they're not arguing about a mashke that's holech omed le'ibud, because the mashke from the anovim are not going le'ibud. They are coming to round out and soften out the face of the loaves of bread. But what are they arguing about? Says Rav Huna, b'mashke omed le'tzachtzecho kamifligi. In other words, you could always say that everybody agrees that mashke bolas sakin ochel has the status of a mashke. But that's only in a case where he's going to use it as a mashke. For example, a person, let's say, takes mashke into his mouth together with solid foods, or he dips his food into mashke. That's called letoch ochel. That's called letikun ochel. But if the purpose of the mashke is not to be metaken the ochel, but rather the tsuras ochel, that's called the tzachzicho, you know, to fancy it up on the outside. That's the machlokes here in the Mishnah in Machshirin between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanna Kamma. What's the status of mashke litzachzicho, ha'omed litzachzicho? It's only there to be misaking the tzura of the ochel. Now, I said it was a Mishnah Machshir. My mistake. Let me correct myself. It's a Mishnah in Masros. Machlok Shin the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda. And that machlokus, according to Rav Huna, revolves around the status of mashkin that are only there to improve the tsuras ha'ochel. Now, the Gemara wants to now analyze the difference between squeezing grapes and squeezing a fish to get out the tzir, that sort of thin, liquidy, reddish substance in the fish. Omar Rav Zera, Omar Rav Chiyo Bar Ashi, Omar Rav. Socheid Odom Eshkol Shalanov Letoch HaKedera. It's permissible to squeeze the grapes into a kedera, meaning a pot that has a tavshil in it, and therefore it's mashke habol takin ochel is ka ochel, and there's no iser of dash. Avalo letocha kara, but if he's collecting the juice in a receptacle, then it's no longer mashke habol ochel, because it's not going into the ochel, it's mashke. And that is meleches mefarik. Now, what about schita of a dag? And he says, v'sochid odom dag lahotzi es tziro afilu tocha ka'ara. In the case of a fish, and he's trying to get the tzir, that liquidy substance, out, he can do that even inside an empty, squeeze it into an empty bowl. And the question is, why? Why doesn't this qualify as schita? Let's see, before we go on. Oops, got myself a little bit messed up here. Let me fix this table so that we have a little bit more elbow room here. And we have here the following. That if we're talking about squeezing the brine out of a fish, then we're allowed to do so even into an empty bowl. And fish brine is not regarded as a mashke, but rather as an ochel. Aha. Uh-huh. So he's not creating a mashke from an ochel, even though the liquid is going into an empty bowl, but we consider the tzir, the fish brine, to be an ochel. That's what Rashi's adding over here. So Yosef Rav Dimi v'karmele lohashmatita. He's saying over what we have here in the name of Rav, that you're allowed to be socheid a dag for its tzir. And Omer le Abaye le Rav Dimi, when Abaye heard this transmission of the halacha of Rav Zera from Rav Dimi, he said the following: Atun mishmei de Rav Masnisun. You heard this halacha in your transmission in the name of Rav, v'lo kasha lehu, and therefore you didn't ask any question. However, anan mishmei de Shmuel Masnisun lo. I heard this Shmua, this Sugya, in the name of Shmuel, the Kashalan, and now I have a problem. Because me or Mishmuel, how could Shmuel be Matis Schit of Daglet, Sirofil Tocha Karva, Itmar, Kvashim, Shesachotam? So we're talking about pickled vegetables, which are pickled either in wine or vinegar, and now he squeezes out the liquid from these irokos. Omar Rav, Rav says, Legufan mutter, Lememehen potter. So Legufan means that if he wants to eat the vegetable itself, as is pickled, and he's not interested in the rotev, which he used for the purpose of soaking, then mutter. He's allowed to do this on Shabbos. Lememeam, however, if he's squeezing out these vegetables to get the juice, he wants to drink this juice, maybe make it into a dip of some sort, then potter. We're not going to allow him to do this l'chatchila because he doesn't violate an isur d'oraisa. It's not mamish mefarik because the rotev is not part of the guf hakvashim. It's not inside the solid substance. When you take liquid out of a solid substance, that's called mefarik. But here, you know, we're talking about a separate substance that's only used for kvisha, but on the other hand, we're talking about a case where it's lememeam. If it's for the purpose of the juice, then we're not going to allow it lechatchila. It's going to be a violation of an isur derabanan. And you put it from a chatos. It's not, as we said, exactly mafai, because this is not its natural inherent juices. But on the other hand, if he wants to drink this rotev, that is a schita. You know, it's one thing with Gufan, he has no interest in getting the mashka out. That's not at all similar to a malacha d'orais, that's mutter. But if he wants to get the liquids out, that resembles mafari. And therefore that fits under the category of potter avalos. Now, that's all in a case of kovush. Kovush meaning where you have a vegetable that's soaking in wine or in vinegar. But now we have a different kind of question, and we can talk about shlokos. Now, shlokos, as opposed to kvashim, are not soaked in water, but rather they are boiled in water. So you're talking about a cooking process. And here, bein legufan bein lemeam mutter, Rav is going to be matir, even in the case of lememeah, and he's squeezing out the juice from the vegetables that were cooked in juice, in water, and he's allowed to do so. And his interest is in the juice. You know, he wants to take some sort of a soup out of it. And yet it's mutter. And before we go on to Shmuel, let's just understand Rav for a moment. We'll take a break and try to figure out what's the reasoning of Rav that schitas shlokos is more lenient than schitas kvashim. And the answer is, as identified here by the Meshiv, Menachem Meshiv Nefesh, in any event, he says shlokos, Heim yirokos yisbashu b'mayim al yidei abishal yirokos misrachechim u'kshesochtin sochton yotzei gam chelik mea yirokos. He says inevitably when you squeeze out the liquids that are absorbed in shlokos, which are cooked vegetables, then you're going to get some of the vegetable as well. Right? If it's a soup, you're going to make bar pri adov because it has part of the yerek in it. And therefore he's really separating an ochel from ochel. He's not creating a new mashke. Avol kvashim, these are vegetables that he soaked in wine or in vinegar. When he squeezes them, he's going to get pure mashkim out of it. He's not going to get any ochel. And now we're going to have to be afraid, in the case of kvashim, that we're coming very close to schita. and we can make a mistake between kvashim, where he's squeezing out the juices that are absorbed in these irokos, and it's very close to zeisim v'anovim, where you're talking about a violation of an isa d'oraisa of skita mishum mafari. So there's that much more reason to be lenient and more be relaxed in the case of shlokos, meaning vegetables that were cooked, insofar as the cooking process is going to soften the vegetable in such a way that when he squeezes the vegetable, he's not going to get pure juice and liquid, he's going to get part of the solid as well. And that's why in the case of shlokos, we find that the Issa d'Rabbanan that applied in Kvashim in the case of L'Meimeim is Mutter here. So even though it's L'Meimeim and he really wants to squeeze out the juice, as we said before, we're going to call it making a soup, it's still Mutter. And why is it Mutter? Because He is not getting a mashka out of this vegetable. He's getting mashka plus ochel. Ushmul amar echid kvashim v'yechid shlokos l'gufa mutl memeim potu aval osur. Shmuel is going to say that even in the case of shlokos, which are cooked vegetables, if you're squeezing them in order to remove the juice, we'll call it the wine or the vinegar that was absorbed within it, that's potur aval osur. In other words, it's not a real malach doraisa of dash, of schita mishum dash, but nevertheless, the rabbanon are going to prohibit it. Because if he wants to get the mayim, the liquids, out of the vegetables, the cooked vegetables, then if he engages in this act of schita, he's getting really, really close to zeisim anovim. And that's too close, you know, to breathe. Now, what do we see from this? We had a kasha, schitas dag litziro is very similar to shlokos. In other words, what's the case of dag litziro? There's a cooking process, and we cook the dag in its tzir. Well, that's very similar to the case of shlokos. And we had the case of schitas rotev me'ash shlokos, just bashlubo. And we said, according to Shmuel, this is absolutely forbidden. So why is it that in the case of shlokos, Shmuel says it's forbidden to do the schit on Shabbos, but yet in the case of dag litziro, he was matir? What's really the difference between shlokos and schitas ha-rotev and dag litziro? If in the case of rotev of shlokos, he's saying it's osur, why is he matir dag litziro? And I say dag litziro, I mean schita. Omalei, so Rav Dimi says to Labai, hello, I guess you could say him, you know, it's a Lashon Shvuah. Einai ro'u velo zar. No, he's invoking here a pasuk from Iov, that this, to the effect that this Shvuah, that it's mutter to be sochei dag litziro, mipumei de Rav Yirmiya Shmielei. I heard it from the mouth of Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya, he heard it from Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera heard it from Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi, and Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi heard it from Rav. So there's a very reliable tradition here that takes us all the way back to Rav with regard to Schitas Dag Litziro. That this is Mutter. So Abaye had a problem because in his tradition, he heard it from Shmuel, that Shmuel was matir schitas dag litzir. And how could you reconcile that with Shmuel's position on shlokos, where he prohibited midrabbanon when you squeeze out the juice from the shlokos. And Rav Dimi responds to Abai and he says, okay, so you heard it in the name of Shmuel. And you have a stira from one statement of Shmuel to the other. I heard it in the name of Rav. And therefore I don't have a stira. Rav could hold on the one end that schitas dag litziro afilu toch akar is mutter. And on the other hand, Rav is going to tell you that in the case of shlokos, even if it's lemei meyem, it's mutter, right? The shlokos bei megufa bei meyem mutter. So I don't have a problem, says Rav Dimi. Abai, you have a problem because you claim that your tradition was in the name of Shmuel, and that's not true. And I have a very reliable, I can even take a shvua, that this shmua about heter schitas dag is not Shmuel, but rather it's Ra. The Gemara now says, Gufa, let's go back to schitas kvoshim and shlokos, and a comparison between them, and the machlok shin Rav and Shmuel. Kvoshim sheschaton omar Rav legufa mutar lememeim potter aval asur, but shlokos bein legufa bein lememeim mutar Shmuel omar echad zev, whether it's kvoshim or shlokos legufa mutar lememeim potter aval asur. Rav Yochanan omar echad kvoshim v'echad shlokos legufa mutar lememeim chayav chatos. So the Rav Yochanan now goes on record as saying that this kind of squeezing out the shlokos, if it's lime mayhem, then and it matters not whether it's kvoshim or shlokos, that is derech mefarik, and that is a violation of the melacha doraisa, of melacha's dash, for which you're chayav chatos. Now I don't think that Rabbi Yochanan would have gone as far as to say that in the case of dag litziro, but that remains to be seen. Now, why is this called Derech Mefarek and Derech Dash? I mean, we said in the case, for example, of Shlokos, that when he squeezes it out, he gets some of the solid stuff with it. So that's not really Schit at all. And when you think about the case of Kvoshim, fine. You want to tell me that Mimeimeim, it's part of a law, so that I can understand. There's a certain similarity here to Mefarik, but it's not identical with Mefarik. You know, the fact that this Yerek was soaking in a certain liquid, and now you squeeze it out, I mean, you're not really separating Mashke from Ochel. In any event, let's see the Gemara, how the Gemara handles this. Mesve, we have a question from a Brice. Sochatin kvoshim b'shabbos litzorech shabbos avolo litzorech motzi shabbos zeislim adnovim lo yischovim sochat chayv chatos. The Brice makes no distinction here between the din of schitas kvoshim litzorech shabbos and schita litzorech gufan, whether it's Litzorach Gufan or Litzorach or Litzorach Meimea. So the unqualified statement here of the Braisa would indicate that even Litzorach Meimea, it's mutter in the case of Kvoshim. So it comes out, according to this understanding of the Braisa, that Tzchitas Kvoshim is mutter on Shabbos, again Litzorach Shabbos, of course, and it's mutter bein Ben Litzorach Gufan, Ben Litzorach Meimeim. Is Kashal Rav or Kashal Shmuel? This against both Rav and Shmuel. They all agreed, as a consensus, that you're not allowed to be Sochet Kvoshim L'Meimeim. That for sure is prohibited. And here, it seems from the Stimas Loshen Abraisa that even L'Meimeim is Mutter. Now, how much more so Kashel Rav Yochanan, he holds that Schitas Kvoshim L'Meimeim is a Chiv Chatos. And the Braisa allows it L'Chatchila as long as it's for the purpose of Shabbos. So Gemara answers, Rav mitaritz l'tamei, Shmuel mitaritz l'tamei, Rav Yochanan mitaritz l'tamei. So we're going to have three answers here. Rav mitaritz l'tamei, he thinks that the Bryce has in mind, Sochtim kvashim v'shavas och shavas avalod l'motzai shavas v'edvurim, it's l'gufa. The heter of schita, in the case of kvashim, is only in order to eat the kvashim. The kvashim are too absorbed in the liquids. We want to make them a little bit more solidy, so we take out the liquid, but he has no interest in drinking the meimeh. And that's why it's not at all similar to mefarik, because mefarik means I want to get at the mashke. He's not interested in the mashke at all. And by the way, this has nothing to do with melech sheni tzrich legufa. This is a definition of meleches mefarik. Avol lemeimeim, but enochinami, if he wanted to squeeze out the mashke, then although that's not a doraisa, because we're not talking about the natural juices of a pri or of a yerek, is potavolosa. However, if you talk about shlokos, then bein begufam bein lemeimeim mutter, and we're going to add that to the braisa. Because as we said in the case of Shlokas, it's not at all similar to Mefarik, because he's taking out part of the Kli, part of the Pri as well, part of the Yerek. But Zeisav Anov Lo Yisrov Im Sochtu Chayv Chatos, that's the real McCoy, the Oraisa of Mefarik, of Shlita Mishu Mefarik, in the case of fruit, that is Zeisav Anov. Shmuel Mataritz L'Tamei Sochtim Kvoshim B'Shal So Shavis V'Adin Shlokos. In other words, Shmuel is going to say there's no difference whatsoever between Kvashim and Shlokos. He always equates the two. V'amed v'am amurim, when are you allowed to do this Shchita? That's only the Tzorch Gufan. Avol me'mehem, potu avol osu, v'zeis v'an alo yisgav in soch chayv chatos. Rabbi Yochanan, taritz l'tameh. Oh, here's the challenge. Sochatim kvashim l'tzorech shavas avol motzoi shavas echad kvashim echad shlokos. V'amed v'am amurim l'gufan. Avol me'mehem, lo yischot vim sochat nasa kemisha sochat zesim anov v'chaya. Very sharp move here on the part of Rabbi Yochanan. The Mishnah, the braisa that we're quoting says nothing here about a chiyuv chatos in the case of kvashim. And Shlokas is not even mentioned here in the Braisa. It doesn't even get a byline. I mean, the Braisa is limited in its discussion to Kvashim and Zeisim Anovim. No mention of Shlokas. But that it's in and of itself is not such an intolerable problem, because Shlokas has the same din as Kvashim. There's no difference between the two of them, neither according to Shmuel nor according to Rabbi Yochanan. But to say that the Braisa jumped from the Reisha of Kvashim to the Sefer of Zeisim Anovim, as far as the Chiv Chatos is concerned, meaning the Braisa seems to assume at face value, and that's how the Gemara understood in the Havamina, that Kvashim is an Isur, but it's not a Chiv Chatos. Now you're telling me, no, kvashim in a certain scenario, but where are you going to fit that in? How are you going to fit in a chiyuv chatos here into this braisa in the case of kvashim? Impossible. Says Rabbi Yochanan, it's very possible. Why? Because what we're going to say is that the sefer of Zeisiv Anovim is really explaining under what conditions there would be a chiyuv chatos in the case of kvashim, and kvashim v'hu adin shlokos, namely the meimei. Again, we still have our conceptual problem trying to understand Rabbi Yochanan in and of itself, how you could call schitas kvashim and shlokos a meleches mefarik doraisa. That's an outstanding conception, but at least textually we can work out Rabbi Yochanan, and that's fine. Now the Gemara is going back to the view of Rav as far as schitas kvashim and shlokos, to explain his logic. Omer Rav Chiya bar Ashi Omer Rav, Dvar Torah Eino Chayv Chatos Ela Al Dricha Zeisim Anov Belvat. So when you crush grapes and olives, that's called Schita as a meleches dash. And for that, you chayev a chatos. Other fruits, the dricha, meaning the crushing them, is not called a schita of meleches mefarik. V'chein toni debe menashe. So we have Brisa from the base Medrash of Menashe. Dvar Torah eino chayev ela al drichas zesim v'anovim bilvad. So that's what we have here in the Brisa, and that supports the statement and the opinion of Rav. So we know that Doraisa, we're talking about only zesim v'anovim. V'ein, this is another statement of Bei Menashe on a totally different context. But once he mentions Tana de Bei Menashe, he tells you the whole story. Ein eid mi pi eid kosher, right? The Torah says mi pi velo mi pi chsovam, or mi pi velo mi pi eid. You know, you can't tell me what you heard from another eid. You have to testify personally. Here we're going to turn to Kuf Mem Hei Omid Beis. El Yedus Isher Bilvad. So as far as Dini Mominus, Dini Fush is concerned, the Dayanim have to hear the Eidus from the original Eidim, who saw the story. But in Eidus on Misas Abal, we don't know if the husband's died or not, to be Mater his wife, and we need to see his body, his dead body. The Chachomim were Mekil, they relied even on Eidus of Eid Mipiei. Now the Gemara goes off on a tangent here about the laws of Eidus, once having mentioned it. Iboilahu, Eid mi pi Eid li Eidus bechor mahu. So we have a mum on a bechor, and the mum has to be examined in order to determine whether it's a real mum, and it hassles the Bechor, it disqualifies the Bechor l'mizbeach. And the Gemara now vacillates, can you accept Eidus about the Mum, not from the person himself who actually saw the Mum, but mi pi Eid, he himself did not see the Mum, but he heard about it from another Eid. And the question is, can we apply the principle, or can we validate the Eidus here of Eid mi pi Eid? And the Gemara records Machlokas on this point. Rav Ami Asir, Rav Asi Shori. Now again, if we can rely on Eid mi pi Eid, then we know that there's a mum in this Bechar, and if we can eat, we can shecht and eat the Bechor. But if we don't rely on Eid Mi Pi Eid in this case, now, the Gemara doesn't seem to give us a clue as to why this is called Eid Mi Pi Eid. Because if we've disqualified Eid Mi Pi Eid in general, and the only exception we had was Eidus Al Misa Baal, then why should we be Machshir Eid Mi Pi Eid in Bechor, in other words, whether there's a mum in the Bechor or not a mum in the Bechor, that issue can be determined by an Eid Mi Pi Eid. So to unravel this mystery as to how we can validate Eid Mi Pi Eid in the Eidus on the Filas Mum in a case of Bechor, and Rav Asi indeed passes that we can rely on Eid Mi Pi Eid, let's introduce the following considerations. There is a Bechor that was born, and now it's given to the Kohen. Now the Kohen will bring it on the Mizbeach. He may get to eat parts of it, but if there's a Mum in this Bechor, then the Bechor gets to keep the... I'm sorry, then the Kohen gets to keep the Bechor for himself. And there was a lot of hanky-panky going on, and the Kohen would actually, under the cover of night, of darkness would actually deliberately inflict a mum in a bechor so that he could claim ownership on the bechor. And therefore the Chazal say, we need edus. We need testimony about this mum to clarify that it wasn't the Kohen who deliberately created the mum, but it was Nafal Mi'elov. So again, on a Daraisa level, a shochet is never to believe that he shechted properly. An isha is neither is believed to say she went to the mikvah. And a kohen should be believed to say that this mum fell on the thing. But the chachamim said, because of the lack of reliability here, we're going to require eidus. But again, it's not a full-fledged eidus, and therefore, according to Rav Asi at least, we can rely on eid mipi eid. So Plony heard from an aide that he knows that this mum fell mi'elov. It was not something that the Kohen deliberately, you know, made a little incision in the back of the earlobe. So Gemara asks the fine question, Amalei Rav Ami l'Rav Asi, how are you able to be matir a bechor and allow the Kohen to claim bailus over the bechor, shechted and eat it, based on a testimony of aid mipi aid, v'tana de bei menashia, ein aid mipi aid, kosher elali edus isha bilvat. And that's implying that when we have a problem like guna, we're going to rely on the testimony that's aid mipi aid, which is possible. And we're going to be matir this Eishes Ish based on the Eid Mipi Eid. And that's to save her from a state of being aguna. But Rav Menashe did not go beyond that. You know, he didn't mention any other possible areas of halacha in which we can validate Eid Mipi Eid. So when it says Ema, we're going to have to reformulate the words of Tana de Bei Menashe. And when he says "Ein aid mi pi aid kosher el li edus ha isha kshera la bilvad," now he wants to talk about a case where a woman herself is believed as to aid, and he's telling you that edus isha kshera la bilvad, that since a woman is kshera, her testimony is valid with regard to Misa Sabal, therefore we can rely on Eid Mipi Eid. And my take on this Gemara is that we have three areas in Halacha for Eidus. We have Dini Mominus and Dini Nefashos. And there, of course, we need two Eidim who are directly standing in front of the Bezdin, and the judges are hearing the testimony firsthand. But then we have a third area of halacha, and that's Dinei Isurim. And in Isurim, we don't need Eidus. And I'll prove it to you, because Eidach is Nem Bisur. The Gemara proves it because an Isha is Ksheira La. And in the case of Eidus Isha Mishum Aguna, the Chazal gave the status or defined the and classified the Eidus as Eidus Lahatir Esa Isra Eishas Ish by establishing that her husband died. And that's like Eidus Isha Veheter. And a woman is believed. What Tanit Bei Menashe is saying is that in any area that's similar to an area where an Isha is believed, we'll call it Isha Veheter, then we could rely on Eid Mipi Eid. And that would therefore include Bechor as well. And it means that when we're dealing with the question whether this Bechor is Asur or Mutter, meaning whether it has a Mum HaNofel Mi'elov or Chas V'Shalom the Kohen deliberately put the Mum in, that's called Isur V'Heter. And Enochinami, if a woman would come forward and testify that she knows that this mum is a real legitimate mum, you know, it fell me a love, it wasn't this fellow, this Kohen, who deliberately, you know, made an incision, then we could be matir the Bechor based on the testimony of an Isha. Because it's Isha Veheter. So Rav Nash is only giving you the rule. He's not fleshing out all the details of the rule. And Rav Yemer Achshar Eid Mipi'ed LeBechar. In fact, Rav Yemer Paskin, that we can rely on Eid Mipi'ed for Bechar. Kori Alei Mereimar. Again, Mereimar apparently was ballistic about this. You know, he held like Rav Ami that we saw before. And he says, Yemer Shora Buchra. That Yemer is Matir Bechoros. As if to say it's a real Bechor. There's no mum, and he was matirit, and he's making fun because when you give smicha to an expert in bechoros, you give him a smicha that's called yatir bechor yatir. But here he's using it in a different way. Not that you are qualified and ordained to be matir bechor, but rather you are matir bechor that was also. But in any event, the Gemara concludes hilchasa eid mipi eid kosher, and that's the final word here. So we're up to Chalos Dvash. The Mishnah said that if you have these honeycombs, if they were chopped before Shabbos, and the honey was oozing from them, from these chopped cones on Shabbos, by themselves, may Elov, then we're not going to allow you to consume that on Shabbos, according to Tanakama, but Rabbi Eliezer permits it. Ki Osar of Hoshaya Minarda, also, well, so Rav Shai came from Narda. Also, the Isi Masnisa B'yodi, he came and he brought a brisa with him. So Rav Shai is coming from Narda, and this is the brisa that he brings to us. Zeisim Anom Shiris Kamer of Shabbos V'yotzmi Atzmon Asurin. Rav Elozer, Rav Shimon, Matirim. So note that we're not talking about Chalos Dvash at this point. We are talking about Zeisim Anovim. So he crushed, he chopped them on Erev Shabbos, and now during the course of Shabbos, the juice, we'll call it the grape juice or the oil, oozed from this on Shabbos, on its own accord, Me'elov. And it's also, that's going to Tanakama. Rav Loz, Rav Shimon, were matirit. So we asked some Rav Yosef, Gavra Yisera Osel Hashminon. What's the Chiddush here of Rav Hoshaya? He's just coming to us that there's a Rav Shimon who joins Rav Eliezer, and there are two of them in their kula, in their heter. Are there any other chidushim in this brisa? You know, we made such a big deal that, hey, Rav Oshi says, I'm bringing a brisa, something that you're not familiar with. Well, we have this brisa. We didn't know, okay, that Rav Shimon agrees with Rav Elozer. He only had a Mishnah of Amina Hossam, who, in the case of crushed honeycombs, that's the case where Rav Elozer allows you to consume the honey that oozed on Shabbos. To be kar uchla basof uchla, the honey from the get-go, even before you took it out of the honey cone, was ochel, it was honey. And now it remains a food. It still is an ochel, even after it oozes out of the cone. And therefore we understand very well that you're allowed, at least according to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Loza, to eat the honey. Aval hocha, but here, we're talking about Zeisim Anovim, Dimei Kara Uchlu Basof Mashke. So he started off with Ochel. And now as a result of the crushing, it became Mashke, Emolo. I might think that perhaps Rabbi Loza would not permit it in this particular case. Kam Mashmolon, if the Bryce has to tell us that Rabbi Loza permits the consumption of the liquid that oozes from them on Shabbos, if they were crushed, these olives and grapes, before Shabbos. And we're not going to apply the principle of Mekara Uchlo Basof Mashke, that he created a Mashke. Because he didn't create it directly with his hands. And not only that, he prepared it before Shabbos. And basically, what we're saying is that Mefarek is only a malacha when he makes this impact of a change. You know, you had a kernel of grain, and it's covered by, we'll call it a husk if we don't have another word for it, And threshing means that you have something that's not a food, and after you thresh it, you create a food by taking off the husk. So therefore, on a deraisa level, you'd be allowed to squeeze honeycombs that were chopped, and you're not changing anything in the character or the status of the honey. It was food before when it was in the comb, and it was food after being squeezed out of the comb. Now let's get to the case of chopped olives or grapes. Here, the juice becomes a beverage, and when you extract it from the fruit, you are making a major change over here, and you've changed its status from that of an ochel to that of a mashke. And we could say the following: the juice within the fruit only became a mashke after you extracted it from the fruit, and that should be meleches mefarik. In the light of that introduction, you could have postulated that a blood would make a difference, a distinction between honey that oozes out from chopped honeycombs and juice that flows from zeisim v'anov. In the case of honey, there's no reason to aser it, because in any case, you're allowed to squeeze the combs. You're not creating a mashke. It was an ochel and remains an ochel. But in the case of the juice, where there's a doraisa, meleches mefarik, to squeeze the olives or the grapes, maybe Reb Loza would prohibit it when it came out on its own, because he might come to squeeze it deliberately and violate the Shabbos. So the braisa, which Rav Hoshea brought with him, was so exciting, because the chiddush here is that Rav Loza's heter and his leniency applies even in the case of chopped olives and grapes. That although you're not allowed to squeeze them on Shabbos to get that juice, but if the juice comes out on its own, we're not going to suspect, we're not going to be choshed that maybe he'll go ahead and squeeze out the juice deliberately. Now, it's not usual to, let's say, squeeze fruits that are already chopped, because the juice will flow from them on their own, and that's why Reb Loza is going to permit it, and he's not even choshesh at all that he might come to squeeze it, because these are already chopped fruits. The Tanakama, the Chachomim, on the other hand, they say, no, we're not going to let you enjoy that juice. You might make a mistake, and you might think that it's permissible to derive juice from unchopped fruits, and that for sure is also the Rabbanan according to everyone. And this leads us to the Mishnah here on Daf Kuf Mem Hei Amud Beis. So we'll pick that up from Mitzvah Shem in the next year.